And welcome back to Speak Up Lost Business
with Walt Ruppel and myself, Peter Goodman. And this half hour, we have with us Nancy Sharp and Don Duncan from the Animal Companions of Las Cruces. That's an effort to bring 24-hour emergency veterinary services to Las Cruces. And since our guests are here in the studio rather than on the phone, if you have a question or comment on what we're talking about in the next half hour, do call us at 526-KTAL. That's 575 area 526-5825. And as I told you guys when you first called me, we sympathize, having at one time had an ill chicken that people said, just give up on it. And we looked at the possibility of having to drive to El Paso and, saw the problem that you're talking about. But what is the situation now as far as a 24-hour veterinary service in Las Cruces?
Well, there is none at the moment. There are some extended hours that have improved. For instance, Animal Hospital now has weekend hours from 8 to 4 with last take-in at 3. And Jornada now is open until 7 Monday through Thursday. But frankly, we still have to go to El Paso. Last night, however, we had a roundtable with 15 of our veterinarians and clinic managers from Las Cruces and Deming. And we are looking at incremental ways before we can get a hospital started here. And that's the overall goal, Peter, right. And so a televet service, and we're kind of leaning toward vet triage right now, that would be able to handle for our really pressed veterinarians. They are overwhelmed. 60 to 80% of calls that would come in after hours, where, let's say, if you've ever had this experience as I have, your dog ate chocolate. Well, unless it was a whole lot of chocolate, it's probably not a real emergency. You just need to know what to do. And so this particular service is run totally by veterinarians, and they would be able to handle 68% of the calls, send the report to the local vet. But if somebody really needed to be seen, our veterinarians can decide whether they have enough bandwidth to actually meet someone at the clinic or go ahead and send them to El Paso. But it will still bring down the need to drive to El Paso. It will still relieve some of that pressure as we build up funds and work toward that hospital.
And once we get into that, I assume that's not happening yet, but it's something you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Will somebody call their own regular vet and get a recorded announcement, or how do you get in touch with a real person?
So the veterinarians that decide they want to use this, and we are going to have a webinar for them with the vet triage vets so that they can talk vet talk together. They would have a particular website that would be a part of what goes to all their clients. We would have it on our website. We put it out in media like this as much as we can. So it would be a one contact, and they would go to that website. So let's say that you're chicken, right? You could get on that website, and you would be talking like a Zoom to that veterinarian. You could show pictures. You could show video. You could show your chicken. And that is that first step in helping us. Yeah, it is. It is telemedicine. And it complies with state and national. What they can't do when it's that kind of service is they can't prescribe medicine. And, of course, they can't do surgery or something over the Zoom.
Right.
And that's why they would have to go to their local vet then for follow-up or to El Paso if need be.
Am I right that this situation has gotten a lot worse in the last several years? It seemed like when I first moved here, it seemed like those services were available. I don't remember that distinctly, but that's what I recall. Nancy, is that
right, Walt? You're absolutely correct. I moved here in 2014, and we did have a 24/7 emergency operation here. It left, if I'm not mistaken, around 2019.
Okay.
And so we've kind of been bereft now with our pets. I had the very sad experience of losing a pet. One night, either a heart attack or stroke, I don't know which.
Yeah.
It seemed like that to me at midnight on a Saturday.
Right.
So right in the car to El Paso, and as we got there, it took about an hour and 10 minutes. Driving at midnight is not my favorite thing to do anyway.
Sure.
And then when we got there, right as we pulled in, I lost Tula. I don't know if Tula would have been saved had I been able to go somewhere, but this, when I saw Dawn's letter in the newspaper, saying, what on earth is, we need
yeah.
to do something.
Right.
I wrote a responding letter, and then I realized what she was going to do. I said, I've got to get involved in this.
Tell us about your acquisition of Tula.
My acquisition of Tula?
Well, she rescued you.
She did rescue me. It was on the highway. I used to live north of Santa Fe. And I was getting paint one day, driving home, and it was very hot in the morning on a Sunday. And I saw her on the side of the road, frothing at the mouth, a very thin dog. And I thought, well, I have to do something. So I got home, and then I took a bucket of water and put it in the car. It sloshed around as I drove back. And then I saw her in the median in the middle of the road. It's the Taos Highway. And I thought, oh, my goodness, she's been hit. Well, no, she hadn't. Long story short, I did get her in the car with the help of some friends, and she became my dog. That was the end. And 10 days after I rescued her, Peter, she had 7 puppies in my living room.
Oh, my.
So that was exciting for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had her for a good period of time.
Is the issue, I mean, is there not enough? I would think that the town has grown since then. I mean, so why aren't we able to attract the private businesses?
Well, we began with research, and you're right, Walt. It has grown in the last 10 years over 14% growth. Now,
yeah.
That's really phenomenal. The problem is not that we can't attract business or veterinarians. The problem is that there is a nationwide shortage
okay.
of veterinarians, and it is critical here. So one of the so I was a professor for 25 years, and as I advised my students, you know, thinking about when they were leaving, what to do. One of the things that happens for veterinarians coming out of vet school, which is much harder to get into than med school, and think about all the species they have to deal with, right? So really stressful. Some of them graduate, they graduate with anywhere from $50,000 to $300,000 debt. So they're going to look for a high paycheck and a good bonus, but they don't always think about quality of life. So if you get an offer from San Francisco and you're not thinking about what it will cost to live in San Francisco. So a part of, another initiative that we have, one of our goals, is to work with our vets and to do the on-the-ground recruiting they don't have time to do. So create a brochure that is tailored, not generally about Las Cruces, but to veterinary school candidates, right? And to go there and present ourselves and to bring them here and host them. So we need to help our vets get the staff they need.
Right.
So that's another part of this.
We know that we are underserved when it comes to medical services, and they do mm-hmm. things like have physician's assistants and mm-hmm. RNs. Mm-hmm. And are there things that you can do short of being a full veterinarian? Do
yes.
we have those same? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, we actually had a vet with us last night who is, if you know the term chef's knife, where a chef doesn't want to own a restaurant, they go around and they are the relief chef. She's a relief vet.
Yes.
And so Cassie goes to these other veterinary services and provides help, and that's another thing that could happen. The most important thing here is whether they are corporate owned or local owned, and we have a mix, that they be able to work out of their own clinics, because in New Mexico there's still a do not compete clause that many of them sign, unfortunately, and that they be able to work out of their own clinics, and that we work collaboratively and supportively. There's so much that needs to happen that it's not a feeling, it shouldn't be a feeling of competition,
mm-hmm.
not among our rescue organizations, not among our vets. We all have more than enough work to do, so support.
But anytime there's a shortage of anything, there's a competition for it.
Why is there such a spirit of competition among rescue organizations?
I imagine, though I do not know, Peter, but I would imagine, and Nancy might be able to speak to this better, she has a long history of working with grants, et cetera,
yeah.
that it has to do with being able to get grants and financing.
Well,
I think Dawn hit the nail on the head. The competition for dollars, that's the highest priority for organizations that depend on grants and donations from the public. So simply put, that's it. It's the same reason, after years of being a nonprofit, I would always love to get into our little fundraising groups and say, there are too many of us. We need to try to learn to collaborate and put our heads together for the dollars.
And I know you're retired from a nonprofit. What was the nonprofit you retired from?
Well, there were several, Peter, but the last was the Community Foundation, Santa Fe Community Foundation was the last place I worked.
And I know that's what Marcy Dickerson tried to do several years ago when she put together her group, and she came to the newspaper at that time, Rennie Henderson joined, but, you know, it was... Instead of all of us getting bombarded, you know, by these requests all the time, let's have one group and they can, you know, all come to one place and we can have a little bit of coordination. And does the government have a role in this at all, or is this all going to be private?
In many ways, the government, whether it's city or county, state, their hands are tied in some ways for helping nonprofits, but there are grants that they provide. And I know that I've already had one of the county commissioners reach out to me, and they do want us to present to the county commission, and they do have some funds that might be available. I do want to make clear that, you know, the different nonprofits, they have different missions, right? But one of the things that we're intent on as we grow this is that having an emergency hospital is going to serve all of them. It's going to serve all the rescues, it's going to serve all the vets, and we will always be supportive and collaborative. We will never, talk badly about a group or anything. So there are things, and so grant writing, I'm so thankful for people like Nancy, having colleagues. I've written grants in my former work, as my students worked with immigrants and refugees. And
You were a professor for years. What did you teach?
So my home department was English, and I taught global literature with a specialization in all things Irish. Okay. But I also taught, my former life was in theater, so I also taught women in theater, and I taught our film adaptation class, taking short pieces of public domain literature and modernizing them in film. So it was a pretty lively life.
Yeah.
Frivolous question, by the way, but I can't not ask it when we're talking about vets. Are you watching All Creatures Great and Small?
Absolutely. Yes. We own the old series, and I grew up reading all the books. Docs have been a huge part of my life, all my life, growing up in inner city Dallas. My first dog rescued me at 10, and they're everything. My dog is on my watch. I mean, they're everything. And so, yes, absolutely. And the new one is so amazing. I couldn't believe it.
We love it. I was not going to add this, but your excitement forces me to. When my wife was young, her father was a teacher, and he liked going other places, and they got back from him teaching in the Virgin Islands, and she was reading a book on Scotland and said, can we go there next? And he applied and spent a year teaching in Scotland. And early on, they went to the, I knew little at this point, until I heard this from her about the All Creatures Great and Small, but they went there and met him.
I didn't get to meet him because he was already dead, but my husband and I, when we were in York, we also made the trip to the town, and we'd just been in Scotland in Glasgow, and it was wonderful to go through all that.
And it's so beautiful in the new, the old series?
It's wonderful. I really couldn't imagine why they were doing another, and now I'm so glad they are. Right? They're both wonderful.
It's a joy.
It's a joy. It's a joy. And you see the working veterinarian life. And that is one thing I think that we also want to make clear is, there's a lot of, and we heard this anguish last night, right, Nancy?
We did.
Yeah. There is a lot of complaining about our vets. Why can't they do more? Why does it cost so much? I am telling you, they are doing everything they can. They're putting in 15-hour days. The people yell at them like crazy, when you're in this anxious thing. And they're doing all we can. We need to support them.
Yeah, and they're dealing with people under stress.
Oh, losing, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was where this started for me, right? Fergus almost died.
Sure.
And Nancy lost Tula, but driving a dog who is bleeding out post-surgery an hour to El Paso is nothing I ever want to have to do again.
Are you hearing much from the vets their view of how the pandemic has affected things, because I know how it has from the standpoint of a pet owner. Mm-hmm. But what are they saying about that? Or have you talked to them about that?
Yeah, I actually had a an hour. Is it okay for me to take this one? Because
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I had an hour and a half.
You can both both answer something.
I just had an hour and a half conversation over lunch with two of our young vets, and the level of demand rose. As you know, this is a good thing. More people were adopting pets, right?
That's right.
More people were lonely. But the level of demand went up. It seemed like emergencies went up. We know that here in our area that there are pet owners who have the wherewithal to really care for their pets, but we also know there is also the opposite, and people who wait really long because they don't have the wherewithal, mm-hmm. and then you get into a really bad situation. Staffing was down because COVID affected those clinics like it affected everywhere else. And so you had fewer staff dealing with more
right.
critical problems, and the stress is unbelievable for them. Nancy, you were talking about this. We were having coffee about the anguish you heard last night, right?
And yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
How do I describe it? I just guess my face changed as I was listening to the one vet talk about the struggles. And I felt this empathy and going, this is why we're here. This is what we want to do. I mean, it's tough, particularly when you have a family and your hours are long. And I heard them say, you know, we do not have the staff right now to be able to handle 24/7 anything, but much less even a reduced type of emergency. And it's like, I don't want to see more vets leave the practice. Let's put it that way. And I get the sense that some people could be considering that, just given the situation right now.
I mentioned the role of government earlier. I know that the animal shelter, I know they don't like to be called that, Animal Services Protection of Missee Valley, they did get money in the last GO bond. Are they better positioned to help than they used to be? Will the money they got from that only go to buildings, or are they able to bring in, do they have a veterinarian there full-time? I'm not even aware.
They have veterinarians who come in. Dr. Short with the Ziomova Clinic, I know that she was just in there this week. We were talking about that. And so they are trying to work collaboratively as well. You know, we're new.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, the people at city, county, and state need to come to know us and what we're trying to do. I did present to the New Mexico State Board of Veterinary Medicine and have continued to be in talks with them to make sure that everything we're doing is in compliance, and they are really in favor of what we're doing, and that's very helpful. So Walt, we're going to be looking for grants.
Okay.
And anybody who wants to tip us to something that they see, that's great. We're going to be writing those. Now, we couldn't do that in our first months as we were a civic action group, but having become having nonprofit status since January 21st under fiscal sponsorship of the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico, yay,
yeah.
We can now take donations and we can now write grants.
And we are receiving donations.
And we are. In 6 weeks, we already are over $5,000 in donations.
How does somebody donate? Have we told people yet?
So I'm going to say our website name carefully so you can get it, because it's kind of long, okay? No spaces, no capitalization, no underlining. So I'll break it up for you, though. Animal, singular. Companions, plural, of Las Cruces.
Oh, one word.
.org. Mm-hmm. Animal Companions of Las Cruces. .org. There's a donation page there, and so it's really easy.
Animal Companions of Las Cruces.
.org. Yeah.
This, I should know this, but I don't. Do we have a veterinary school in New Mexico?
We do not.
We do not. So.
So we'll be going, you know, Texas, Colorado, all around. There are some great schools in Virginia. We're willing to go anywhere to get these people here.
I'll take Virginia.
I know, because you live there.
My former sister-in-law, my first wife's sister 1,000 years ago, was the first large animal vet female up in Socorro.
Wow.
And when she always wanted to be a vet. And she applied to the University of Alabama, and they said, you're a woman.
Oh, geez.
We don't take women.
What year was this, Peter?
I'll try to do the math, but a couple of years later, I don't know if it was a year or three or four, she applied, and that's where she graduated from.
Wow.
It would have had to be 60s.
Is there
a degree in animal husbandry or something beneath a full veterinarian degree? And
so there's coursework at New Mexico State, for instance, that can lead you toward going into vet school. But we don't even have a vet tech licensure program, even at a community college. But that is also on our goal.
Yeah.
One of our goals is to advocate for vet tech licensing programs. I would love to have that conversation with Dona Ana County and see how that could flow. That would do a great deal. We also want to use our funds to be able not only to help with scholarships to reduce debt for the vets, but for this vet tech licensure program, we imagine, as well as for continuing ed for our vets and vet techs. If we can get a vet tech program here, that will do a lot to help our vets as well. Mm-hmm. And dreaming long, once we have, and you notice I said once we have, a hospital dedicated to 24/7 here,
right.
As we really work that hospital and grow it, it would become a possibly, and I hope, great place for those who are specializing in emergency trauma and triage care to come do their residency.
Right.
Then we grow it, sustain it forever.
I mean, all the things that you're talking about, the telemedicine, the bringing in residencies, that we're doing all of those when it comes to people, when it comes to our health.
Right.
And so it seems to me like there's a model there that we know we have a shortage, and that's how we've addressed it in one area that seems like it's been pretty effective.
Yeah. Well, one of the veterinarians last night, Don, correct me if I've got this incorrect, made a comment about using a vet televet service and how helpful it was to her practice when she was doing
it. Yes, that was Renata. And, you know, when we began this, and even before I had gathered my colleagues, I actually went back up to Fargo, North Dakota, Moorhead, Minnesota. It's all one town where I was. And I spent an hour with the veterinarian who had worked closely with us for years. And he had been in Albuquerque for 8 years at the emergency hospital. His wife's from New Mexico before he went back to Minnesota, North Dakota. And he began the Red River Regional Emergency Hospital up there and created a consortium of, in fact, 15 beds. And he helped talk me through how to do this, how to get this started. The consortium I did couldn't work here because of the Do Not Compete clause, maybe down the road, but who knows. But
How do we get rid of that?
Advocacy. I'm glad I'm writing campaign and get a bill passed.
Yes. It's like the absolute last thing we need is people worrying about competing.
Exactly. Well, it drives them out of New Mexico.
Yeah.
Because if they've signed that and then they think, well, I want to change practices, I want to leave, where are they going to go?
Right.
So, and the majority of states do not have
Do
Not Compete clause.
We had a lot of big litigation. The big deal was whether you filed it in California or Texas over non-compete, because in California, some guy got a great idea and he wanted to go off and do it. He did it. In Texas, you know, if it was vaguely related to what he'd done for a former employer, forget it.
It's just terrible. Mm-hmm. It's just terrible. It's not allowed in human medicine. And so it should not be allowed in caring for our animals.
Once again, we're talking with Nancy Sharp and Don Duncan of Animal Companions of Las Cruces, and they are trying to bring 24/7 emergency veterinary service, which I'll admit I thought we had. I'm a little bit surprised to hear that we don't. So
we had until 2019.
We are, you know, getting into our last few minutes here. What haven't we talked about? Anything that people need to know, or if they want to help? We've mentioned your website. What other things haven't we mentioned?
Volunteers. Nancy, you want to talk about volunteers?
Right. Well, sure. currently we have six individuals who have completed volunteer forms on our website, submitted them, some of them with graphic design experience, and one of those volunteers actually assisted us or did the design for our business and thank you card. So we're really pleased with the work for free, of course, as a volunteer. We have some volunteers who have done fundraising. We have volunteers that want to help with events. So we're starting to accumulate volunteers, and I encourage people to go to our website, and if they have skills that they'd like to contribute to this effort, please fill out a form and submit that to us.
And again, it's Animal Companions, plural, of Las Cruces?
Correct. That's it. .org.
And I think it's important that people know that all of us working with Animal Companions of Las Cruces do this as volunteers. Mm-hmm. We are not paid to do this. We do it because we're passionate and driven to solve this problem.
I know it's a little off topic, but I feel like any time we're talking about pets and animals, I have to bring up spay and neuter because, here
Snap.
It's so important.
Yeah.
How are those programs going, and what, if anything, could be done to help them?
You know, I don't think I can talk about somebody else's program. I know we have SNAP. I know they're working hard.
That's fair.
I'm going to be leading or helping facilitate, I should say, some community conversations for Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico. One is coming up soon on the arts, just because of the job I do on a regular basis now with a narrative four. And one of those is going to be around animal welfare. And I already saw that SNAP is sending two people to that, and I'm really glad.
Yes.
You know, I know that Dr. Short said, you know, she had to figure out a way to work in more of those into her practice, and there's just not enough hours in the day. I think everyone here is doing all they can, so we need to help them be able to do what they can't get to right now.
Well, I'll say this. When I first moved here, there were two primary animal protection groups that were at each other's throat, and that did nobody any good at all.
No, it doesn't.
It is nice to see you all collaborating. You all want the same thing, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be.
Right.
Well, one other thing you mentioned, what can people do? Yeah. And Dawn mentioned this, is the Do Not Compete clause. I think we can ask the public who are really interested in getting good service, veterinary service here, and drawing veterinarians here as well as having emergency clinic, is advocate with your legislature for the Do Not Compete.
So that's state legislation.
That's correct. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to be starting a letter writing campaign for just that. So you might see something soon on our website about that, because the more we can do that together, the stronger that voice becomes.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we still have two more minutes. Oh, no.
We can tell dog stories.
Yeah. I didn't mention Barney.
Yeah, talk about Barney.
So in 2019, that's when I moved here, and we still had services. And then also we had some services through Animal Hospital in June of 2020. We still had some on Saturday, thank God, because Barney and I survived a double pit bull attack. Mm-hmm. And it was horrible. I am somebody that when something happens, I just go into action. I don't freeze, thank God. Mm-hmm. So I threw my body over his because I didn't want them to get to his organs. And but he ended up having to have his ears stapled to his head. I had to go to the hospital.
Yep, okay,
I had scars on my arm
because
I was using my arm to push at them while I used my full theatrical voice to scream for help. And a couple of men came running. And anyway, so, you know, we survived that. And loving animals as I did, we had them just, quarantine them in life. But we were able to go in Las Cruces for him.
Right.
What if we
did? Theater interest? Are you going to go to Little Dog Laugh?
Absolutely. And I was in Arsenic Cold Lace.
We're going on the 19th.
I was Aunt Abby. Yeah, great.
We'll see you there.
Yeah.
Neat. Well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Thanks
to you guys, Nancy Sharp and Dawn Duncan.
Thank you.
And if folks were interested, again, the website is
www.animalcompanionsoflascruces.org.
And let's get a 24-hour hospital and get an exception to the Do Not Compete law.
Hear, hear.
And we'll be right back, Walt and I, in a moment or so, talking Ukraine and Russia with some people who know more about it than we do.
Okay. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Matthew Taylor, a local musician. You're listening to KTVU.